Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. You know, we're beginning to run out of pages on my book called Time, but I still have one, and this is an interesting devotion today. It's about time and personality. And I'm just going to go over this because it might help you as you realize why you do prayer life the way you do. How do you talk to God? What are your conversations like? So the sanguine personality, you know, this is kind of the popular, talkative, loud and expressive person and people, and the fun that you have with them is your top priority. Your calendar and your deadlines may be lost or not checked. So time tips for that kind of personality is ask people to give you reminders. Use a huge wall calendar with bright colored markers for appointments. Be on time. Write the time as 30 minutes earlier than you should be there. Take time to listen to people. Limit your talking and limit interruptions. So a helpful verse for you is Proverbs 25:11. Then there's the choleric, and this is a powerful personality. They're busy people, and they're more interested in goals than the people. So here are some time tips for you. Smile more. Be diplomatic and empathetic. When you lead, allow time for people to be late. Start meetings with social time. Greet people. Don't interrupt. Use input from others. And relax. Enjoy stories and jokes. Take time to say please and thank you. Appreciate others. Ask instead of ordering. And the Bible verse for you is Proverbs 16:24. Now you have the melancholy personality. This is the quiet, detailed, perfectionistic, and you need to smile more, laugh at yourself and your problems. Don't get bogged down with details that waste time. Share your thoughts. Avoid overthinking or overanalyzing people's words and actions. Take time to relax and be thankful. Forgive others who hurt your feelings. And a helpful verse for you is 2 Thessalonians 3:16. And then last but not least are the phlegmatics, and they're the peacemakers. They're easygoing and they have a good sense of humor, but they tend to procrastinate. So their time tips are take time to express joy, get excited about things, especially gifts. Take time to make decisions, express your opinions, avoid procrastination. Take time to be discerning. And a helpful verse for you is James 1:22. And as there's, you know, these four identified personalities, there's combinations of each of them and percentages. If you're my age, have taken this personality test many times and probably know what personality you are. Whatever the case may be, God created you just the way you are. He made you just the way you are. He loves you just the way you are with all your mistakes and foibles. And he knows that when you talk to him, you're talking to him in just the way he created you to talk to him. You just have to take the time to talk to him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I hold up to you our show today, that our words will be your words and our thoughts will be your thoughts. I thank you for all of the blessings that you've given to each of us, the sunshine, the rain, shelter, food. And Lord, those that don't have these things, I pray that you will continue to be their shelter and to be their food. We're praying for Nicholas today. He has lost his job and he just needs inner healing and the courage to move forward. It's very discouraging when you lose your job. And Lord, I pray for Bill and his elderly mother. She has injured her leg and has chronic pain there ever since. Please send your healing hand upon her. And Lord, I pray for Melissa's father, who is 81, and he needs to have his strength restored. It's always hard when you're coming to the end of your journey on this earth, but don't we look forward to the next? Lord, we praise you. We thank you for giving us salvation away from this sin-occupied planet. And we pray for just this day, that each one of us listening will feel your power of the Holy Spirit and feel your presence. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! I like to say ta-da before arts and crafts because it's such a fun little segment. We have been talking about fun things you can do with Legos, and one of the best things I have found is to build a marble maze. And I put a video there. It also has a sorting game on it, and it's sometimes hard to find the directions, but if you just look at that, you'll get it. You know, the kids build a maze and then they have to run the marble through it. Of course, you need to have a regular board and then lots of little Lego blocks and a marble, and they will have a lot of fun doing that as a math activity. So have fun learning. Curriculum Corner. Well, the other day I had a parent lamenting that they had just spent $200 on a well-known homeschool curriculum and it wasn't working for their family. It just wasn't working. And the thing with curriculum is that we often just call the textbooks or the video program the curriculum, but the curriculum is the path you choose. So you as the teacher look at those textbooks and you pull out the things you really want to unpack and you really want your children to learn. Every curriculum product, every book comes with more than what you need. And so you as the parent then, you select out of that book what you want your child to do. It's all right if they skip a worksheet. It's okay if maybe you only have them do the odd in a worksheet. It's okay if you choose not to do a worksheet, but the worksheet gives you an idea of something that you would like to do, that you'd really like them to delve in. Some research, looking at videos, going to some sites and actually seeing the things, drawing maps. You know, map drawing is an art. And if you start very young, students actually can feel that they're in that specific place if they draw a map about that. And you're touching then all auditory, tactile, kinesthetic. You're touching a lot of the senses and ways that we learn in map drawing. And maybe throwing out the map activity and helping them see the GPS and direct you with the GPS, go geocaching. It's all kinds of things that those curriculum products can give you an idea about. So when I hear a parent say, man, I spent all this money on this curriculum and it's just not working for us, the curriculum should not work for you. You should use the curriculum to make it work for your family and what you want to accomplish on that path of learning. So that concludes the Curriculum Corner. And please stay tuned for questions parents ask. Here's an important question. So Gina asks, my six-year-old is starting to ask questions about evil. Today she asked if there are witches in the world. And the other day she heard about evil on K-Love and wondered about what evil was. So what do you do when a six-year-old starts asking about evil? I think, as always, you need to answer honestly and authentic at that child's level. So when they ask what evil is, you can say, Remember when you lost your little kitty cat? It got run over? That's evil. That's caused by Satan. Satan wants us to suffer and he wants us to be sad. And so, you know, framing it in words that a child can understand, we also want to remind them that Scripture tells us whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are good report, that we need to think on those things, that our cares that we have in this world, we cast to Jesus. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Cares are caused by the evil in this world. And even a six-year-old can understand that, you know, we're worried about things, and we, even in that worry, we need to cast that. So you as the parent can answer honestly and frankly, and you can frame it at the level of whatever your child is. They need to know that Satan is going around like a lion seeking whom he can devour, but our God is much more powerful. So whenever we get worried, whenever we get afraid, we can immediately turn to God. For he has given his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Psalms 91:11. Great promises that we should have our children memorizing to strengthen them in this walk. I have one more little question here. I don't know if I can get it answered in this amount of time, but someone's asking if they should let their children play with toy guns. Well, each family needs to make that decision. I know we've done shows on it before about how God actually has allowed the men in our lives to be protectors, and so they tend to gravitate towards, you know, even if they don't have a toy gun, they will pick up a stick. And that is a protection that God has given us, that he's wired the men in our lives to be protectors. I hope you'll stay tuned for our interview and take my advice for whatever it's worth and however it fits into your family. So today's show, we're going to conclude an interview that I began with Peggy Miracle Consolver. And you can go to the website if you want to, Peggy Consolver. I'll spell it out for you, PEGGYCONSOLVER.com. So stay tuned for the second half of the show. We'll be right back.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.
Welcome back. Thank you, Peggy, so much for being with us. We just had really talked a little bit about your two books, Shepherd Potter, Spy, and The Star Namer, which won the Illumination Award for Christian Fiction in the Enduring category. And then your second book, The Star Namer and the Unchosen, is a sequel, so to speak.
Yes, but it is.
Both of them you have developed with the idea of using them in an educational manner. They have The Shepherd Potter Spy and The Star Namer has has lessons with it and what we call curriculum product, though I believe curriculum is any path that that is chosen for you to learn on. And The Star Namer and The Unchosen, you're in the process of doing that. And what I like about it is it does make the Bible come alive. Your first book featured the Gibeonites, and I've often thought about the Gibeonites. I've thought, you know, they were pretty smart to go and make that treaty, even though they did have to then actually fulfill the treaty and be servants for the rest of their known nation. I don't even know if they're still in existence, but
I don't know about now, but of course, they are mentioned one other time 400 years later in the time of David.
Yeah, so you know, we all come from something, so I'm sure that there's the heritage somewhere.
I saw something just recently in the book of James, when it's naming the God-fearing Jews who gathered at the arrival of the sound of the arrival of the Holy Spirit, and it named all the different places, Asia Minor, Cappadocia, Egypt, Libya, da-da-da-da-da-da, and Arabs. I'd never seen that before. And I thought, ah, that gives room for the descendants of the Gibeonites.
Yes, yes. God is good, and he would not have any man be lost. So now just briefly describe the sequel. We haven't gotten to talk much about that one. The Star Namer and the Unchosen.
The first one ends on the day the sun stands still over Gibeon. The second one begins on the day the sun stands still over Gibeon.
That's a great beginning and ending spot.
Well, it's kind of negative in that it's battlefield cleanup happening there. But Eski is the third son of the Master Potter, and he discovers his friend, who is Jebusite, but he's the marksman, champion marksman of Jerusalem. But he's been coerced by the king of Jerusalem, the Amorite king of Jerusalem, according to chapter 10:1, and by the master bowmaker being in prison to make him stay in the army, because nobody likes that king. But anyway, so he's in the battle, but he's injured, and Eski saves him. And then he helps him get back to Jerusalem to free his father from the dungeon, and to prevent the king who got executed over here by Joshua at Makkedah to prevent that sadistic young son of the king from taking over. So that's the plot there. Want to know what's happening with Joshua?
Yes, yes. You have me on pins and needles now.
The last half of Joshua chapter 10 reads like the battlefield journal of Joshua. He goes here, he goes there. He goes here, he goes there. But Kesheb is with him.
And that's from the first book.
From the first book, the fifth son of the potter. And so we get little vignettes of what's happening in with the southern campaign and Joshua. Well, it's just interesting. It's the military moves.
Yeah.
But it does not say anything about their observing the Sabbaths, but I believe they did. So I've been challenged on that. You think they took time out of battle to observe the Sabbath? I certainly do. I think Joshua was scared to death that his men might do something that brought the disfavor of God on them, and then they would begin to lose those battles, like they did when Achan sinned at Jericho. So yes, I think they spent Sabbath. So that gives a whole new perspective to it when you think, okay. And so it happened, if my calendar's anywhere close to right, it happened in about 30 days. And that's while everything's happening over here in the power vacuum in Jerusalem.
Wow. Very interesting. So as you wrote these, what did you learn about yourself? Or, you know, because anytime you pour out, you learn, you gain from it. So what did you learn?
What did I learn? Well, that God is incredibly good. God is, what I wanted to show was that God was working in Eski's heart, too. Kesheb became a believer, and his father became a believer in the first book, in the God of Israel. But Eski is a man of action, and he saw all these things firsthand, but he hadn't had downtime to process all that he saw. I couldn't let it go until he did that. So, you know, there's the terribly bad omen of the white owl who flutters off when they approach the gate to enter Jerusalem at night. And is that bad luck? Well, it scared away the guard.
So superstition is, you know, I mean, it is. It has always been an actual phenomenon that exists today.
In my study guide, I hope to find where I have seen a documentary of in Israel today, the Israelis have a great agricultural, and I've seen that firsthand. They grow a lot of bananas, etc. But the mice are ruins their crop.
Wow!
And so they tried to get these white owls that are native there to roost in their owl boxes and prevent that. But their neighbors, a different ethnic group, still clung to that superstition, and they were shooting all the white owls.
Mm.
So what did they do? What did the Israelis do? They launched a study and an education program to their neighbors to show them how much greater harvest they would have if they didn't harm the white owls.
Wow.
And so now the white owl is not as bad an omen as it used to be.
And see, you probably learned about the superstitiousness that they had against the white owl by actually going over there or doing research, because I never heard of it.
Just from that documentary, actually. Mm-hmm. And then looking back at all those banana groves that they had there.
Well, we're almost to the end. I don't think I've gotten through everything I asked. You said that recently there was a statistic that showed that only 5% of adults identified themselves as Bible-centered. So do you think, I mean, I think as an adult, I would enjoy reading these just for the sheer enjoyment of it. Do you think it helps someone to read Christian fiction to then be able to transition to a Bible?
I think so. In fact, I have had a elementary school teacher and a wonderful Christian lady who loves God's Word. When she read the first one, she said, I think I can read the Old Testament now because it just didn't mean anything to me before. Because the book gives you the setting and the culture and just, you know, description of the area. So you kind of get a much better feel of this is a real place.
I agree with you. You know, I grew up with books like My Bible Friends and the Bible Story series, which was a big, huge set that covered every Bible story, but there were little pictures, you know, that later I found out there are big oil paintings, but, you know, they were shrunk to fit in the book. And now when I read my Bible, I still see those pictures. I think that we've maybe cut ourselves short by not allowing ourselves to use our imagination, even as you read the Bible. Well, we've come to the end of our show. I want to make sure everyone goes to your website, PeggyConsolver.com, Unexpected Gems of Grace. The website simply spelled out PeggyConsolver.com. And I have...
And you can get these books at any bookstore. You can order it
on Amazon.com.
And on Amazon as well.
Yes.
And I might be at the homeschool convention near you.
Yes, so check that out. I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.